Welcome to TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM autograph collector, sponsored by sportscardforum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion. And now, here's our host, Jeff Baker.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 4 of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM autograph collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I'm your host. We have a different show today for you, kind of a fun interview. We interviewed nationally known stand-up comedian Gary Gulman. Gary is got a new special that was out on HBO recently called The Great Depression, and he is on his U.S. tour right now. And I've known Gary for a little while, and we talked autographs and collecting and celebrity and kind of all sorts of stuff like that. So it was kind of a different interview away from kind of sports, a little celebrity picture snapshot into the life of a celebrity that's on the road and gets asked for autographs a lot. And we also talk sports collecting. So hopefully you enjoy our interview. It's kind of a fun interview. So we got that coming up. As always, you can reach me at www.ttmcast.com is my web address, and my email address is ttmcast@yahoo.com. You can find my podcast everywhere podcasts are, including Alexa. All you have to do is say, Alexa, play TTM Cast podcast. And your Alexa device will play the current TTM podcast, or you can listen to old podcasts on your Alexa device as well. In addition, as you heard in the opening, we are sponsored by Sports Card Forum. There's a forum on Sports Card Forum about our podcast, so you can go in there and make a comment. And that's about it. So let's get on to the show. Our first segment, as always, is Baker's Dozen, which is kind of a brain dump of what's been going on in the hobby in the last week. We had a show last week, so this is just kind of a week wrap-up of things that have gone on in the hobby. Our next show will be next Sunday, February 16th. We have two TTM collectors, so it's kind of a collector's corner. Had an interview with them about, I don't know, two weeks ago maybe, and we had a great talk on TTM. And so hopefully you'll join us next week on February 16th for Collector's Corner. This week, we had the release of Topps Series 1, 2020 Series 1 was released. I've seen some case breaks and box breaks online. I haven't gotten a box yet, but design is okay. I don't think it's anything stunning design. Kind of the typical Topps stuff. Nothing earth-shattering in my mind. Also, I saw that the Topps 2020 Archives Signature Series has released. They're $45 a box, and from what I've seen in the breaks, it doesn't look like it's a good buy at $45. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of great autographs in there. But if you want to take a shot, it's kind of like buying a lottery ticket. Go out and spending $45 on an autograph card. More power to you. A couple things I noted in TTM, and Rick Wise, the former pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals and Red Sox and Cleveland Indians, he's now charging $5 a signature, $5 a card. So Rick Wise is now charging $5. I'm sure, I think I mentioned this last episode, but I'll say it again. Vaughn Hayes, who played for the Phillies, is also charging $5 an autograph now. And Alejandro Pena, who is a pitcher for the LA Dodgers in the 80s, is charging $3. So Rick Wise is charging $5, Vaughn Hayes is charging $5, and Alejandro Pena is now charging $3. So no more free autographs for those guys. We had a couple other things in sports. We had the Mookie Betts and David Price trade to the Dodgers for my Red Sox, and it's been kind of a snag on that, but I think that'll all fall out, and Mookie and David Price will end up being the Dodgers, and I don't think it's a great trade for the Red Sox, but they had to do a salary dump, so that was it. And lastly, I had my fantasy baseball winter meeting this past weekend, it was the ball seeing all my guys in my fantasy league. We've been doing the same league for 32 or 33 years now with the same group of guys, and it's great to get together. We get together every winter we have a winter meeting, just like the MLB, and we discuss rule changes. And it's funny to watch 10 grown-up men talk about rules in fantasy baseball for 2 to 2.5 hours, and then talk trade and have some beers and have some food. So we had a good time seeing all my buddies for our winter meeting, and hopefully you guys are starting to prepare for your fantasy baseball season. Pitchers and catchers are reporting this week, I think, or next, this week coming up, and spring training starts soon, and then we will have opening day, I think, is about 50 days away. So today is February 9th, Sunday, February 9th. So we're about, 50 days away from opening day in baseball, which is a welcome sight. Now on to our Vern Rapp Minute. Vern Rapp Minute was dedicated to Mr. Vern Rapp, who had passed away after I had sent him an autograph request. And we lost a couple people in the world of sports this past week. We lost Willie Wood, who was a legendary defensive back for the Green Bay Packers back in the 60s. He was an 8-time Pro Bowl player, and he's a member of the Football Hall of Fame. He was on a couple of Green Bay Packers championship teams. He was 83. We lost Gil Conan, who played for the Washington Senators from 1946 to 1956. He was an infielder, and he was 97. And we lost a couple people in the world of celebrities. We lost Kirk Douglas, who was 103. He was a great TTM signer in his day. We lost Robert Conrad, who was on Black Sheep Squadron and was always on Battle of the Network Stars, and he was the Ever-Ready, the Energizer commercial guy. Go ahead, and I did knock the battery off my shoulder. It was that guy. He passed away yesterday, actually. And we lost actor, comedian Orson Bean, who was 91 years old. He actually got hit by a car. Our condolences to their families for their losses, and it's sad that they will no longer be with us. This week we had, 7 returns. This week, I've got a bunch of stuff that I've been sending out. I sent out another 20 yesterday, so I've got a lot in the mail finally, and successes are starting to roll in. So I got let's get right on to the successes. So I got a return from recently elected Hall of Famer Mr. Ken Harrelson, the Hawk, on a 1964 Topps. And very happy to get that. He signed it, Ken the Hawk Harrelson. Nice addition to the collection. I got Matt Olson from the Oakland Athletics. This took exactly a year on a 2018 Topps Heritage card. That took exactly a year. I got L.Ray Face on a 1953 Flair card. That took less than a week. I got Dave Giusti. He played for the Pirates, and this is his Houston Colts 1962 rookie card, and that took less than a week. I got two for my 1978 set. I got Rance Mullinix and Rick Ruschels. Both of them took less than 2 weeks, and they're both on 1978 Topps cards. And I got one card from my game day set. Lewis Oliver from the Miami Dolphins took less than 2 weeks. This was my second attempt at Mr. Oliver, and I'm glad to add him to the set. So pretty good returns for this week. As I said, I got a bunch out, so we're really excited about getting some of these returns back. Some of the guys that I've been sending out, I see, have been signing, so hopefully mine will start trickling in. And now on to our interview. As I said, I interviewed stand-up comedian Mr. Gary Gulman. Gary is a prolific stand-up comedian. He is has his own special on HBO called The Great Depression. He's doing right now in the middle of a U.S. tour, so if he's in your area, I recommend going to see him. He's very funny, and we talk collecting and TTM and autographs, so hopefully you enjoy our interview.
This week's interview is brought to you by sportscardforum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion.
Joining us on the TTM Cast Hotline from his home in the Big Apple, New York City,
is comic, comedian, Mr. Gary Goldman. Gary, welcome to the program.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me on, man. It's good to talk to you.
It's great to talk to you. You grew up in PBD, my hometown. You're friends with my brother. I've known you since you were a little kid, so it's great to watch you blossom into the superstar that you are.
Oh, thanks. Man. I appreciate it. But we had a lot of good autograph talks growing up. I remember there was a baseball card magazine or maybe a Beckett magazine article about collecting autographs that got me started. But you were the only person I knew in the neighborhood who had actually had some firsthand advice about who was signing. And I remember in particular, you had said that Wade Boggs will sign anything. And that was true. But then years later, I found out that he was having in some cases, a clubhouse boy sign his autographs. I was devastated.
Well, you know, he's a great signer now. If you send him $10 in your card, he will sign it.
Oh, that's great.
So that's just a point of reference, when we were collecting, when we were both kids, you're, I don't know, 4 or 5 years younger than me, I think you got a lot of your cards from your brother, your older brother, right?
But, no. The great thing that happened and I think I was like 14 or 15, was that my uncle gave me a huge collection that he had come into possession. And I think it was to settle a debt that somebody owed him money, and they gave him their baseball cards. And so I wound up with them. And it was a collection of like the late 60s and early 70s. The only thing was that it was clear that the person had held on to all their Mickey Mantles and Pete Roses. So anyone else I had access to from those years, except for they were sharp enough to take out the Mickeys and the Pete Roses, which at the time Pete Rose was pretty much second to Mantle as far as the most sought after cards.
Yep, I remember. Well, you kind of got me started on the 1969 cards, because I remember you and I traded a bunch. You had a bunch of doubles.
Yeah.
You got me started on that set. And
yeah.
You'll be happy to know that I actually finished it about, I don't know, 2 months ago.
Well, that's interesting, because it used to be an odyssey to complete a set. And now if you want to use the internet, you could do it in a month.
Yeah, well, it took a little longer than that, but I went to the various card shows, and I picked up a few last ones I needed on the internet. But
yeah, it's more fun, I think, to go around to the card shows and make it an odyssey, because that I just, man, I could pour through cards looking for that one that you need for hours. It's like a treasure hunt or a scavenger hunt.
Now you're going to, you're all over the country now. We'll talk about that
in
a minute. Do you go to different shows, or I know you're still collecting. So I know you're into comic books and cards.
And I haven't been to a card show in a while. I've been to comic book. I usually try to go to a comic book store in every community to try to support them. And I buy things that sometimes I read and sometimes I don't get to, but I feel like the comic book store is something that along with the bookstores that aren't owned by Barnes and Nobles, I feel like we should support them when we're, especially when I'm traveling. So that's been really helpful.
We're speaking with Gary Goldman. Gary is a celebrating 20 years as a comic. Would you consider yourself
actually, that's an old biography. I'm 26 years in.
Okay, 26 years. So 26 years as a comic. Sorry. Do you consider yourself a stand-up comic? Or do you title yourself a comedian, or do you really care about either one?
I call myself a stand-up comedian. The thing that I do most, which is on average about an hour a day, is stand-up. But I mean, I don't do nearly as much acting as I do stand up shows. So yeah, I'm very comfortable with my position. Yeah,
as a stand up. Yeah. You know what? Sometimes I think a comic as Henny Youngman.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? I think you is more of a comedian. That's,
yeah, there doesn't seem to be a standard definition of what a comic is versus a comedian, and anyone who tries to tell you that there is a difference is making it up. I don't think there's kind of etymological explanation of where comedian versus comic comes from. So, but if you have that in your head, then that makes sense. It makes sense.
Who were some of your influences growing up, as a comedian, as you've been coming through the club?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up, and my favorite was David Brenner, who I would watch him when I was a kid, and he would be on mostly I would see him on the Johnny Carson show, but then sometimes he would be on the afternoon talk shows like Mike Douglas or Merv Griffin, or sometimes even in the morning on Dinah Shore. So I loved David Brenner, and then as I got older, I got really into Stephen Wright, and then later on I started getting into Saturday Night Live and those characters and people like that, but I would say I first fell in love with observational comedy through David Brenner, and then a lot of guys who were really influenced by him, but never seem to mention him when they bring him up, but I don't know what is the reason for that.
Yeah, I think he was before his time. He was kind of one of the pioneers in that. But I thought Stephen Wright when I was in college in Northampton. Oh my God, he was so funny.
Oh, he was. I mean, his stuff still holds up, which is so hard with comedy from decades ago. It doesn't always still resonate. But his was so ahead of its time, and he was he's unique.
Now, you, as you said when we first started, that you're a busy man, and I'll say, you know, I know you've had some health problems, and you're back and feeling a lot better.
Yeah,
you had a great special on HBO, an HBO special called The Great Depression.
Yeah,
I know you work with Judd Apatow Productions on that. But
yeah,
I think that, Gary, that. You know, just as somebody that knows you, and you know, I consider you a friend. We don't see each other a lot, but I do consider you a friend. I thought that was your best work that I've seen. You should be so proud of it.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, it was definitely the most personal and the show that's resonated with the most people and gotten me the most wide exposure. So and I think part of it is just that HBO has such a broad reach, and they did such a great job at promoting it and advertising, and so that was really helpful. But I've gotten such great feedback on it, so I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah, I mean, the material was fantastic. You know, talking your jokes about, you know, stories about growing up in the 70s and Peabody, obviously, at home, talking about sport. And one of the funniest stories, if you want to talk about it, is that when you went into the hospital and there was a fan that recognized you. I thought that
was
fabulous.
Yeah, he was really nice about it, and he was sort of nervous about approaching me. I think he didn't want to make me feel uncomfortable, and he said, I won't ever tell anybody that I met you here, but you're Gary Goldman, right? And I it was really nice. It was in one way I thought to myself, oh great, now I know who my audience is. At the same time, it was nice to know that somebody knew that I who I was, and that meant that I had fans, and it was really nice. I think the level and the frequency with which I get recognized is really a great one. I know that I have friends who are really big stars, and they have a hard time just being out and about and have to be sort of curt with people. Otherwise, when we're walking around, they'd just be interacting with fans all day long, and it just can be exhausting and also make you late for everything. I remember I had a a friendship with David Brenner years after I was a fan, and he said whenever I'm going somewhere, I have to give myself a 15 to 20 minute cushion because people will stop me, and so he built that into his schedule.
No, I mean you can't hide in a crowd. You're what, 6'6", right?
Yeah. I'm very tall, but I don't have as many fans as some people, and also there's kind of a difficulty in recognizing somebody from television because we look a little bit different. Recognizable as say somebody who has kind of like my friend Judah Friedlander, who's on 30 Rock. He has an outfit he wears on stage and off, so he's easily recognizable.
Kind of like he was walking around like in a white suit, like Steve Martin.
Yeah. Steve Martin or that author Tom Wolfe.
Okay. Now, you know, we're talking a little autographs and collecting, and I know. I've seen, you know, I've been at your shows and people come up to you and ask you to sign either your CD or your picture. Do you get a lot of requests?
I used to get more before phones had cameras on them. I would sign a lot of things, and that was pretty much what people wanted when they came to the shows. And also, I guess I used to sell CDs at shows, and I don't feel comfortable doing that anymore. Also, people don't really use CDs as much as they used to. But I do a meet and greet after every show, and there are always a handful of people who will ask me to sign the ticket or the playbill or a photograph that they brought from home of another time that they had met me and we had taken a picture. So I'm always happy to do that. I think with me, the people aren't trying to resell it, so they're comfortable with me signing their name on it and personalizing it. And I know that it would be interesting if people were trying to sell it, whether I would feel about not personalizing it if somebody said, could you not personalize it? Because I will say that when I was collecting, I didn't want the guys I sent the cards to personalize it because I didn't intend, and I will never sell any of the autographs that I received, but I always wanted them to be worth something, I guess, and that was part of my drive as a kid to have something that was really valuable someday. But I do remember one of the great things was that the late Gary Carter, he signed a card that I sent, and then he also included a postcard, and he wrote, "Gary, God bless Gary Carter," and I thought that was really, really cool that he had taken the time to include a postcard and I mean the thing about when I was young getting somebody to sign an autograph, and the quickest turnaround time ever was Alvin Davis's rookie season. He didn't even have a baseball card yet. I took a newspaper clipping from the Sporting News, a picture of him, folded up, sent it in a self-addressed stamped envelope, and within 48 hours he sent it back from Seattle, which
wow.
he must have signed it and immediately ran to the post office to get it out there because it was back in my mailbox within a few days. It was incredible. I'll never forget that. It's one of the highlights of my childhood.
Now you still have all your collection from when you were a kid growing up, right?
Yeah. I have everything. I mean I can list a lot of the guys who returned the autographs signed, like Lou Whitaker and Alan Trammell and Boggs and Dan Quisenberry, Ron Kittle, Gary Carter, Alvin Davis, and then the one interesting sense of Nolan Ryan, and then it probably wasn't years, it was probably just 9 months or something like that, but when you're a kid it feels like years. I got the card sent back unsigned, so it's possible that he never saw it, but Nolan Ryan was probably a long shot at the time. I mean, he was such a huge star.
Yeah, I actually got him when I was a kid. He sent, I didn't, in that, those days, I wasn't even sure what to do, you know? I'm like, I'm handwriting all my letters. And
yeah, me too.
Sometimes I sent self-addressed stamped envelopes. Sometimes I didn't. Sometimes I sent stuff. Sometimes I just asked for things. So I think I must have sent Nolan Ryan, and he sent me a Houston Astros postcard. That he, and it was
That's really cool.
Yeah, so it's fun. I mean, I still have all the stuff from when I was a kid. Now, do you have all your stuff in binders, or do you display any of the stuff in your apartment, or is it at mom's house?
It's at my mom's house, and they're in single sleeves. But my favorite one, I think, is when I was in eighth grade. Your brother and Jay Hurwitz and I went to Leechmere, where Larry Bird was signing posters for the Dr. J versus Larry Bird one-on-one computer game.
Okay.
So I got Larry Bird to sign the poster. Your brother had him sign the Indiana State University cover from Sports Illustrated. And then Jay says he kicks himself every day over this. He had him sign the 82 Topps card, and he regrets it. He says he really wished he had had him sign something bigger. I think as I get older, I like the things that are signed to be bigger than a baseball card. I because it's more fun to put them up on the wall when they're bigger than. Yeah.
Now, in your travels, I'm sure you meet celebrities, and I'll use that quote in quotes and
work
people. Do you ask for autographs now, or is that it's kind of?
No, I don't ask for autographs. I ask for a picture a lot because I feel like that means more to me at this point. But if I were to have an item, then I would. Think of having them sign. Like I like to have authors sign books. I met Ray Bradbury one time at a book signing, and I had him sign the book. So I really like for authors, I like to have autographs or sometimes, well, I don't know how common this is, but sometimes artists will be also painters or something like that. So I like to have I would love to have a Tommy Heinsohn lithograph signed. I think that would be really, really cool.
That's really good. Well, we're sticking with that. Gary Goldman. Gary is a 26-year, celebrating his 26th year as a stand-up comedian. He has a fantastic special on HBO that came out about 2 months ago now, Gary.
October 5th it premiered, yeah.
Yeah, it's called The Great Depression. If you have HBO Now, I suggest you go check it out. It is both entertaining, it is heartwarming, it is funny. It is not your typical comic comedian special, just a guy standing on a stage. It's intertwined with Gary's life and shows Gary's home in Peabody with his mom. I was thrilled to see your mom on TV.
Yeah.
And I hadn't met your wife before, and it was nice to see your some behind the scenes of your wife. And it still looks like you still have a shot left. You're shooting free throws.
Yeah, I can still make a jumper from long range. Yeah.
And he is in the middle of his stand-up tour. It is called the Peace of Mind Tour. It is going to be all over the country. Gary, you want to plug some of your upcoming?
Probably the best way is just go onto GaryGoldman.com, and there's a calendar on there with all my upcoming dates. But I know I'm going to be doing this through April at least. So
yeah, I have the schedule in front of me. If you're in North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, Missouri, Iowa, Minnesota, Chicago, he's going to be all over the country. Getting those freaking flyer miles. And I know the reception of the shows that you've done have been great because you've had sold out shows all over the place.
Yeah, they're selling really well, and that's definitely because of the HBO special that gave me some great exposure, so I'm really grateful for that.
And it's all new material, is that correct?
Yes, no material that I've done on any album or special, so if you haven't seen me since the Great Depression tour, then it'll be all new material for you.
Now, we were talking about, you know, becoming famous and people asking you for your autograph. Do you remember the first time someone actually said, "Hey, can I have your autograph?" Or did
yes.
it kind of take it
yes.
back a little?
Yes, when I was a freshman in college.
Really?
Yeah, because I was on the football team, and we had a day where kids came and played with the and met the football players in the uniform before the game, and of course they couldn't really put out anybody out there who was actually going to be playing in the game, so it was all the freshman kids, and we were asked to sign autographs and take pictures, and so I signed autographs, and I remember wanting to tell these kids that they were really but they didn't have to really hold on to this. It wasn't going to be valuable because I probably wouldn't be on the team in a few years.
Now, has anyone come to you at one of your shows and said, "Hey, I was one of those kids. Like, you took a picture with me"?
No, but there is a friend of mine who Boston College used to sell equipment at the end of the year, and she bought my freshman uniform jersey, my home jersey, which really irritates me because I would have loved that, but and she wears it to my shows and it's nice. She's very very proud of it, but all I have is the white road jersey, which it doesn't matter. I mean, I'll never wear it or anything like that, but it would be cool to have the home jersey too.
Do you remember Dave Moorhead, who played for the Red Sox? Do you remember the name?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay. So I met Dave Moorhead at a show, and he was actually on my interview on my podcast, and we were talking about memorabilia and stuff. And he said, "Yeah, I was just at a show, and someone brought up my shirt from when I threw the no hitter in 1965, I think it was." And
wow.
He's like, "I wish I." And he's like, "How did you get that?" He says, "Oh, well, Tony Orlando. I forget what his first name is. That's Tony Orlando's the singer, but Orlando, who was the clubhouse guy of the Red Sox,
okay.
This guy's father knew Orlando, and he gave the shirt to this guy's father, and this guy's, he's had this thing for 50 years, and he brought
wow.
it to get signed. He's like, "I don't even have anything from when I was doing it." When you started telling me that story, it kind of hit home a little, and it's like,
yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, guys didn't hang on to their stuff. Well, some of them didn't. Yeah, they weren't aware.
Yeah, most of them didn't. Most of the former athletes that I talked to didn't. They actually said they only got usually two uniforms during the year. So one
wow.
of them would get all beat up, and then they would send it out down to the minor leagues, and then they'd have one that was kind of their game uniform, and they just didn't keep their stuff.
Oh, that's so interesting. Oh my
God. So now I know we were talking before. You do have a couple collectibles on display that I'm jealous about. You want to tell us a little about those?
Oh yes, I have my biggest one is probably the Koufax rookie card, and it's the second one I've owned. The first one I bought in the early 2000s, and then sold it one time to I was in dire straits financially, and I sold it to make a mortgage payment, and then when things came back after my financial difficulties a couple of years ago, I bought it again for, of course, twice the price that I had paid for the original or had sold the original one that I bought, but I got it in the same condition, so I'm very very happy with that. And then I have the 56 Koufax, so I have, that's the one, I think the one player where I have every, and it's interesting, it's only 11 cards really. I mean, there are some ones that aren't the straight cards, the ones that he's on for strikeout leaders and the different cards that he was on, one with Johnny Podras, I think, and one other guy who I can't remember his name right now, but yeah, the basic set card, I have all of them, and I just that's a great one run from 55 to 66. The,
sure.
The cards are all great looking. I really love those style of cards.
And you have a ball too, right?
And I have a ball here. I have a ball at my mom's house, and I have a Dodgers cap signed by Sandy Koufax. And then I have on my wall right now, I'm looking at a photograph of him pitching in college. And then I have a kind of a painting of him that I found on Etsy that's really, really cool. And then I think those are the only items I have displayed right now. Yeah.
Have you had a chance to meet him?
No, I've never met him. And I think that he'd be one of those guys who I would be shaking if I ever met him. But the other thing was that I met Larry Bird, and I was excited, but he was somebody who I had watched play, whereas Sandy Koufax is more along the lines of Bigfoot, because he played before I was even alive, and so he's got kind of a mythical, legendary status that Larry Bird didn't have, because he was still active when I met him, I guess.
Yeah, that's so cool, meeting Bird. That must have been
yeah.
a big thrill.
Yeah, at Leechmere, of all places.
That's how we just talked about that. Now, are you playing any pickup leagues or anything? I know you were a big player. You were a big player when you were younger, and I know we used to play all the time hoops, and at that time I could play with you, not now.
But. No. And to be honest with you, you couldn't play with me back then. I mean, Bacon, your brother Greg and I were leagues ahead of you, but
wait, let me take that knife out of my back.
but I do play, and I play a lot by myself, but I also play in 2-on-2, 3-on-3 games, and sometimes there'll be enough for full court, but I play a lot at the Y that I belong to, and also there are so many great courts in my neighborhood where there are always players playing, so I get a lot of runs in, so I'm really, really happy about that, because it's a great game that you can play by yourself, but also it's fun when you get to play with other people. To me, basketball is the perfect sport to play because of the versatility.
Yeah, I know my brother's still playing. He keeps injuring himself every once in a while, but you'll know when.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
He was quite durable growing up, so it's
yeah,
really
yeah.
an age thing.
He's had a couple of Achilles popped. And,
oh gosh,
stinks getting old. You'll
yeah,
know.
It really
you
does.
You got another year, right? Before you
get
the magic number, but
right,
So I want to thank you. I don't keep you all day. I know you're a busy, very busy man. We're speaking with Gary Gulman. Gary is a famous stand-up comedian. He rose to fame on NBC's Last Comic Standing a while ago now.
Yeah.
And he has had a couple specials out, one on Showtime, I believe, right?
Yeah, I've had specials on Showtime, Comedy Central, HBO and Netflix.
Yeah, and you've been on all the late night shows with Jimmy Fallon and Kimmel and Conan, right?
I've been on the Tonight Show, but not with Jimmy Fallon.
Okay,
but I'm fine with that. I'm not a huge Fallon fan.
Now you're on your U.S. tour for your stand-up tour. It's called Peace of Mind Tour. Go to GaryGulman.com if you're
yes.
interested in buying getting tickets and learning about his show. He is on Facebook at Gary Gulman. He's posting a lot of all the time on Facebook. Is there any other places? Are you on Instagram or?
Yeah, I do Instagram and Twitter and
Twitter
yeah,
as well.
It's called Gary Gulman. It's a very uncommon name, so I didn't have to share or make any kind of underscore or add anything clever.
That's very nice. Now, one last question, then I'll let you go. Do you, I know you said you're not really collecting cards much, but you still have some. Is there anything that you'd like to add to your collection? You know, sounds like you got Sandy Koufax pretty covered, but I think you might.
Yeah, I think I think the next guy I would like to try and I mean it's a daunting task, but I love Roberto Clemente, so maybe I'd like to get the Clementes, but that's such a popular player, but he's just a beautiful man.
Right, well, I'm going to a show this weekend, so I'll see if there's any affordable Clementes I can pick up and send one your way.
That's so thoughtful. Thanks, Jeff.
At the end of the show, you're welcome. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
It was great talking to you, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Well, that wraps up another edition of TTM Cast, the podcast of the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I've been your host for the program. I hope you enjoyed our interview with Gary Gulman, and I just want to let everyone know that our next show will be next week, February 16th, so hopefully you'll tune in, download for that. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback for the show, please send me an email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. I'd like to thank Gary Gulman for his time today, and as always, I'd like to thank you, the listener, for hanging in there, and wishing you many happy returns.